One thing about when you have the opportunity to preach is you're basically picking the subject you want to talk about or something that's really on your mind lately. And, you know, right now what's going on in our society basically is they're trying to force their ungodliness on everyone. I'm sure this has gone on throughout history, but it seems to be even more and more so, where this ungodliness is, it's almost to the point of almost put up on a pedestal because some group's been abused or something, and now they're not abused anymore. Someone that believes some sin is okay, they're not abused anymore. But we understand, as far as the Scripture is concerned, we need to be able to combat these things. And there's a word that, years ago when I was teaching the high school students, that came across an archaic word, vexed. That's not something we really use anymore. But the problem of daily vexation by the wicked. The word vexation is a word that was used by the King James writers. Okay, there's several different Greek and Hebrew words that were translated vex or vexation in that version. Some of the meanings include to irritate, which I think some of this stuff just irritates me that they're trying to force these issues on us. Torment, agitate, make trouble, disturb. The one thing that always kind of disturbs me is our whiteboards on there. You can't get them clean anymore. Toss about, to try, to cause evil, and several others. As we're going through this study tonight, we want to look at what should be vexing the souls of faithful Christians today. Some of these things that should cause us to be alarmed. Because right now what's going on, there are many things that are alarming. We're going to look at several scriptures, several examples from the scriptures to help us to see these things. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And that's torment is one of the things that was going on. He could see the ungodliness around him. He understood that these people were doing things that were contrary to the will of God. And what was the major sin that was going on? It was a sin of homosexuality. And more, it's getting to the point where this sin is being forced on us. People want it to be almost glorified. You know, they ruin the rainbow by the fact that the flag they fly and such things as that. You know, they're ruining good things because they're forcing their issue on us. Their ungodliness. Lot, he was oppressed and tormented because of what's going on. The sin was called lawless deeds by Peter. It was ungodliness. But we're told we need to be tolerant of these people. We understand we need to love the sinner but hate the sin. But to be tolerant of their sin, we should not be. Then we're told that we don't have any compassion because we don't tolerate their sin. Some say we're mean-spirited because we don't tolerate their sin. We cannot tolerate any sin. In Romans, the first chapter, there's a lengthy reading beginning in verse 18, Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth of unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And there's a lot of people today that profess to be wise, but yet when it comes to the scriptures, they're fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Homosexuality is condemned by God in these verses. And it's not that we have no compassion for these people. It's that God has classified this as a grievous sin. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God's going to let you do those things. He's not going to force you to stop. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. As we look at the next verse, think of those people who are not involved in this sin, but yet they have no problem with other people that, you know, they're involved with it. That's okay. You know, I'll march in the pride parade with them. I'm not a homosexual, but I feel for these people who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. God condemns those that approve of those that practice these things. We cannot give these people the encouragement to continue in their sin. This should vex our souls. A great example of someone that was tormented was Nehemiah. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. The first place we'll look is Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. We know that Nehemiah, his determination was to rebuild the walls of Jericho. Of Jerusalem. And he's going to have some opposition here as he's trying to do this. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." So he's going to get some opposition here. And they're already laughing at him. And we've run into that today. People will laugh at us because we're serving God. But no matter what the opposition was, he was going to make sure he's going to get done. He was determined to do what God wants, no matter what the opposition may be. Keep your finger in Nehemiah, but let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 real quick. Now the apostles in the first century were out preaching the gospel, and they ran into quite a bit of opposition. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." That is our responsibility. No matter what opposition man may give to us, our responsibility is to obey God rather than man. We need to take a stand. We need to take a stand for the truth, even though it may cause us ridicule. Back in Nehemiah chapter 4, in verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Again, just some more harassment, making fun of Nehemiah and his efforts to serve God and do what God wanted. He wasn't going to let this ridicule stop him from this mission. Again, keep your finger in Nehemiah here. Let's look at two other passages. In Job chapter 12, in verse 4, we know the account of Job. He said, in 12:4, I am mocked. I am one mocked by his friends who called on God and he answered him, the just and blameless who is ridiculed. People want to bring you down and ridicule you because when you speak the truth to them, they feel that you're actually condemning them. When you're not, God's word is. And they feel good by ridiculing you. I guess it makes them feel better. Also, Jesus, our great example in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 24. He said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Again, they don't care who they ridicule. People, when they're up on their soapbox, they don't care who they disparage or whatever. They're going to ridicule. And, you know, some people say today to baptisms and some will say, how can baptism save you? Or they may say how simple our worship services are. They're too bland and such things as that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what Paul was preaching. Jesus Christ and him crucified. It may seem simple to some people, but that's what the scriptures are all about. They may want the great grand things in their worship services, but we are here just to worship our true God. Back to Nehemiah. Back in chapter 4, verse 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. And then chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages, the plains of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. He knew their ploy was going to try to do him harm. So these threats were not from the enemies, were not going to stop him. He was bound and determined to do what God wanted them to do. And again, you know, people in the world, when you're trying to preach to them, they may try to conspire against you, to bring you down, to cause you harm, to make themselves feel better. Let's look back again now in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We know the apostles had resolve here. They were bound and determined to do whatever it was, whatever it took, to stand for the truth, to stand for the will of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things command and teach. He's giving this exhortation to Timothy to teach these things, to command these things. We talk about persecution this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's going to happen. We can't help the fact that people of the world are going to persecute those that are faithful to the Lord. So who's the driving force behind this? The one that causes us vexation. We understand it's Satan. His work started very, very early. We know in Genesis chapter 3. And our enemies are going to use cunning methods to trap us sometimes. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 44. We all understand the account in Genesis chapter 3. But Jesus gives a little more insight here in John chapter 8, verse 44. He's talking to those that were giving him some grief at the time. He says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." He's the one that started the lies. "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me? Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." And that's the trouble we run into with people in the world. They're not of God. So when you try to explain them the scriptures, they don't hear it because they don't understand God. They don't understand the will of God has for us to be saved from our sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. We have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things." Remember, Paul had some issues with the brethren in Corinth. They really looked down on him at times. "Then I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted, because I preach the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are, the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." There are people out there that really, they're not looking for spreading the gospel. They're out there to deceive. They're out there to promote their own agenda. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." And right now, there are a lot of people that are proud out there because they think that what they're doing is correct, those things that are against God's word. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." When these things are bothering you, what's going on in the world, we need to be praying to God and casting our care upon him. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And the people in the world that are promoting these ungodly things, they're the ones that are out there helping Satan along. "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God will help us. God will help us through these difficult times. Now let's look at a list of some things that should be vexing our souls. I think one of the best places to start with this list is those who think the world is formed, because that's really where everything starts. Of course, in Genesis 1:1, we know that God created the heavens and the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Of course, God's not foolish or weak, but the point is that man can't think as God does. And there are many proud people in this world thinking that, oh, the world, it was this great big bang. And we understand that God is the one that formed the world. And then right now, everyone who has died that believed that there was a big bang, they understand that, no, it was God who created all the things of the world. Another thing that's closely associated with what is taught in our schools, certain false things are taught as facts. There's a lot of things that the science teachers teach as facts when they are not. They're just theories. And they're just based on tests and things like that. And sometimes these tests aren't even correct. There's another thing that should be vexing our souls is those who have no regard for the laws of the land. A lot of people think that rules are made to be broken. It's amazing that people have that thought process. But yet, in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Even someone who may live in a communist country that really doesn't allow teaching on God, they can serve that government, but they can't do things that are contrary to the will of God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you'll have praise from the same. You know, one thing that those that are citizens that are following the laws of the land, they don't have to worry about a policeman pulling them over and arresting them for something because they're doing what is expected. And God expects us to follow the laws of the land. Maybe it would be a good thing if once in a while that some community would set up a thing. Well, let's do a program where if you see somebody doing something good, Officer so-and-so, go over, pull him over, and thank him for doing what's right. But we don't need that because we're just doing what God wants us to do, and we should be pleased with that fact. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. He does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. All those people that say all rules are made to be broken, they're going to have to face God someday. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for there are God's ministers attending and continuing to do this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Peter touches on this too. I want to go to this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. He says, therefore submit to yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free not, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear Nero, fear God, honor the king, which would be Nero. Fear God, honor the king. We're, at this time, Nero's the king, and yet Peter says, honor him. We need to honor those. Even someone who would have lived in Nazi Germany, as long as they were not forced to do something against the will of God, they should have been following the laws of the land, as long as it was not contrary to the will of God. Remember, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then there's those who will not listen to God's word because they think they know it. You may well say that that's almost all who have never obeyed the gospel. But these are the ones with an attitude of self-righteousness. They want to do things their own way religiously. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Some were just not working that. They thought that God was coming soon, that Jesus was coming back soon. But so Apostle Paul had to explain to them what was going on. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, but that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains you will do so until he is taken out of the way. There's living apostles right now when he's writing this, and yet the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Satan's out there working. He's got people on his side already. Those that should have been serving God. And then a lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So Satan here is at the middle of all of this. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And those are people that are self-righteous. They want to do things their own way. They don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it their way because it makes them feel good. And they think, well, God's going to be pleased with this because it makes us all happy. But yet, God is not pleased with the self-righteous attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan blinds their eyes to the truth. And it's a good tool he's using because he's making them feel good, but yet they're blinded to the truth. John chapter 12, in verse 37 beginning. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, that they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. These self-righteous people, they cannot see the truth because they are so involved in their own teaching, their own self-righteousness. Another thing that should be vexing our souls is immodest dress. Actually, one I want to look at before that is ungodly speech. And that would be including using God's name in vain, or using profanity or euphemisms, which are just a softer way of saying the same thing. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So the idle words we're using, we're going to have to give account. These would be words that are they're not helpful, they're harmful. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So that would include evil speaking, coarse jesting, it's talked about. Euphemisms, using God's name in vain, such as things as that. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's the kind of speech that is coming out of our mouth. Speech that is for good. Speech that is not idle. Now, in modest dress. That includes Gothic dress, things like that. Tight clothing fitting. Anything that would draw ungodly attention to someone. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. This is for both men and women, that we need to be dressing properly. You know, we can't help when we walk out those doors what we see, but when we're among God's people, we should not have to worry about immodest clothing or immodest dress. Also, another thing, misbehaving children. When you're in a grocery store, a lot of times you'll see this. And it's what's basically going on is the child has learned that I've gotten away with this before, and the child's running the show, basically. They've actually taken over the parent because the parent hasn't done what they ought to have done. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So the responsibility of the parents is to make sure they're teaching their children how they ought to obey, ought to act, especially like in a public setting. You know, sometimes children are misbehaving, and, you know, it's like people say they're asking for something, only the parent's not giving what they're asking, a good spanking. And, of course, that's another problem because of society. You're almost afraid. Well, if I spank my child in public, am I going to get in trouble? Is someone going to say something to me? Because, again, society is trying to force the issue on us that we're not allowed to discipline in public when we should be able to be allowed to public discipline. Another one that really bothers me is computer hacking. Now, computers are a good thing, but because of all the problems that have gone on over the years and people learn how to hack computers and put viruses on computers, it makes it tough because you've got to go through all these security checks and that, and instead of just going right to your website and doing what you want to do, you can't because these things are there, and it's for your security, obviously, but it seems to make it take it longer and longer. And, of course, I just got a cell phone. You know, I'm kind of archaic in my thinking, so this is just... It bothers me that this is going on. It's bothering me. And also, before I go to the verse that I want to talk about, also there's people that are harming their bodies. They're using legal drugs, alcohol, they're smoking devices, such things as that. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor computer hackers you can put in there will inherit the kingdom of God. People that are mischievous and just doing the work of Satan. These people, they vex my soul. Another one, abortion. And earlier Mike read from Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17, shedding innocent blood. And that's what is going on. Innocent blood is being shed every minute of every day. And we understand that life is in the womb. Luke chapter 1 and verse 44. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. That's a living human being. It's not a fetus. Again, society is trying to force the issue. They're trying to just cram it down our throats, basically, is what they're trying to do. Force us to accept their terminology. That is not a fetus. It is a living child. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. That's a living being inside the womb. We should be praying, though, for our leaders that allow these things, such as the New York Senate. They cheered when the abortion thing was recently voted on and approved. They were cheering. Ungodliness is what they were doing. They were cheering for Satan's work. And they have nothing to worry about as far as America it seems right now. It seems that it's being accepted. But someday these men that were cheering, they're not going to be cheering unless they repent. They're going to face the wrath of God, which we talked about in Romans chapter 1. So if there's other, obviously there's other things. Everybody probably has the thing that bothers them. These should be vexing our souls. But you know what? If they don't vex your souls, maybe you need to look again at these things and consider what God's teaching on this. We need to maybe rethink our attitude towards God's word. One last passage. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given us himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness for foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And the people that we've talked about tonight, these people that are involved in these sins, they are the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not encourage them. Do not go along with them. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let people in the world know these things are ungodly. We may love the sinner, but what you're doing is sin. It's ungodly. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And that's becoming less and less true because people in the world, they want to talk about their ungodliness. They want to promote it. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Our responsibility is to look to the Scriptures, understand what's sinful, and teach people about sin, so that they may know that what they need to do, that they may obey the gospel, that they may be saved from their sins, and that on the day of judgment, then they will stand before God, knowing that they've had their sins washed away in baptism, and are righteous before God. Do these things vex your soul? Isaiah 5 and verse 20. People talk about calling evil good and good evil. And that's what's going on right now. And we need to be careful that we do not get involved with that and calling evil things good and good things evil. If you need to respond to the gospel, if you need to obey the gospel, or if you've fallen back into the world of sin, if you're involved in some ungodly acts that you need to repent of, you need prayers from the brethren here, we offer you that opportunity as we stand and as we sing.